Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
And Luke in chapter 11 recorded for all history that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you." And Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." The love that God has for you and your loved ones can only be poured out upon you through your relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other way for you to enjoy God's love than for you to hear the word of God and to keep it. And what is the word that God has for you? Well, for believers, as Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the word of God that he wants us to live by. For unbelievers, there's a different word that they need to live by. They need to live by Romans chapter 10, which Paul wrote for those who are considering getting right with God. Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know everyone in this room. I know most of you, but I don't know everyone very well. And I like to hope that everyone has made a decision to become a Christian. But if you have not, the Apostle Paul says, this is how you become a Christian. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. So if you say to me or to someone, you say, "I do believe in Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead, and I love God. I want to thank God for forgiving me of my sins." That's what you need to do. How do you get married? Young ladies in the room, young guys, how do you get married? What do you got to do? You got to do a 12-step program? No, you say to someone who is offering themselves to you in a commitment, a lifelong commitment, you say to that person, "I do." I do what? I do accept your invitation to me, and I do commit myself to you. That's all you do to make the greatest change you can know in your life, to get married. And how do you get into an eternal relationship with God? The same way. God's the one who instituted marriage. You say, "I do, Lord. I do believe in you. I do accept Christ's sacrifice for me."
This is Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to visit us in person this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth, or on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. Call us up for driving directions at 303-463-1707 or get them on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. That's 303-463-1707, Denver Bible Church. Now stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live. Wait, we got more time. All right. Hey, this is fun. Okay. Hey, I could give you a preview of next Sunday's sermon. It's sometimes the sermons we do at Denver Bible Church, well, we talk about things that some Christians are a bit surprised about. For example, forgiveness. Does God want us to forgive everyone? Well, I know that many, many, many Christians say yes. But Jesus said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So that repentance is an important part of the process. Repentance is not superfluous. So come on out to Denver Bible Church and enjoy the Bible and God with us. And now stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And last night, we had an interesting call from Colorado Springs, a gentleman named Kevin. And Kevin was pretty angry through the call. Most of the call he was reserved, but at the beginning and at the end, he got a bit angry, and he was mad at us right-wing Christians. And I just wanted to recap that call and then get to other unfinished business we didn't complete last night, which was whether or not all sins are equal. So many Christians have been told that all sins are equal. In fact, it's so widely believed, you'd think there must be a Bible verse where Jesus said, this is the third and greatest commandment. All sins are equal, and don't you forget it. But I don't recall a verse like that. So that's how we'll begin the program with a recap of Kevin's show last night. Kevin was a bit angry by the end of the call. He didn't like right-wing Christians. And he was especially annoyed because we talked about, well, sort of welfare and socialism, taking care of people who maybe are out of work or don't have the money to buy food or whatever. And I asked him about if he was in charge of a church. If he was in charge of his own church and there was a widow in the church, and I described her just a little bit. Her husband died. She had a couple teenage boys, and she couldn't afford the rent. She's 55 years old. Should the church support her? Should the church be willing to pay her rent, say, for the next 6 months or a year or two? And his answer immediately was yes. And I said, no, that would be, you'd be disobeying God. No, I do happen to pastor a church, Denver Bible Church, and in fact, you should not support a widow. The church should not support a widow under that circumstance. And he said, I got you now, because the Bible says that you have to care for widows and orphans. Yeah, that's right. The Bible does say you have to have a concern and care for widows and orphans, and you have to do it with wisdom. If you do it without wisdom, you might hurt them. You've heard of the tragedy of American compassion? You know, the trillions of dollars that have been transferred to people in this country, wealth taken from one set of people, given to the other, and the people that have had the money taken away from them, they've done pretty well. The people that have had the money given to them, they have suffered immeasurably. You see, the hardworking people, if you tax them inordinately, and you take 50% of what they produce from them, well, they're hardworking people. So they have to work, and they only take home half of what they make when you include all taxes, payroll deductions and sales tax and property tax and sin tax and utility tax and death tax and everything tax. When you add it all up, it's about 50%. And so, well, they're hardworking people. So they got a job and they're making $16 an hour and they're working hard, working an extra 5 or 10 hours a week overtime. But the liberals who control the budget and the tax code and run our government, they see to it that they take half. So he's taking home $8 an hour after you account for all the taxes he pays, the direct ones and the hidden ones. But he's a hard worker. And so he works an extra couple hours a week or takes on another job. But it's the people who get the money that really suffer. The hard workers who have to pay the higher taxes, well, they work hard and they pay the taxes. And generally, they do well. But it's the people who receive the welfare benefits who are destroyed by the money. Destroys them. Look at in Michigan, Benton Harbor. Right? The riots that were in Benton Harbor this past month, this earlier this summer. And our Benton Harbor story here on Bob and Yurt Live is when my wife Cheryl and I were in South Bend, Indiana, doing Bob and Yurt Live on TV. Back then, we were on five nights a week in 80 cities around the country for a few years. We did that. And we're going to take a weekend and drive up along the shore of Lake Michigan. We had not been up that way, maybe go up toward Holland, Michigan, see all the tulips. And we looked on the map and we saw Benton Harbor. We thought, what a beautiful, wow, look how beautiful that is. Benton Harbor. It sounds so great. And it's right on the lake, one of the Great Lakes. Let's go to Benton Harbor. We'll have lunch. Maybe we'll find a bed and breakfast there and go on up to Holland on Saturday, Sunday. We'll just play it by ear. My wife and I are going to have a nice weekend. And so we head north from South Bend, Indiana. It only takes 15 minutes or so. You cross the border into Michigan. And not very far from there, you're in Benton Harbor. Maybe, I don't recall, 45 minutes later. And we pull into Benton Harbor, and it seems like we're in Beirut, Lebanon in the 80s. A war-torn, burned-out, blown-up city. That's what it looked like. Forget about lunch. We weren't going to stop for gas. We were just going to get through that city as quickly as we could and get out of there. With the condition of the city, literally what we saw was on every block there were homes that were, it looked like they were bombed out. I'm sure they weren't bombed, but all the windows were missing and the doors. And these were beautiful homes, gorgeous homes, the kind of homes that my great-grandfather built after coming here with nothing from Italy, Dominic Lucio. He lived to be 97 years old. And he worked hard. He came here with nothing, a dollar about. He came here with virtually nothing. Back then, a dollar was something, but it was only a dollar. And he worked hard his whole life. He ended up building homes in Hawthorne, New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey. Beautiful homes. Those were the kind of homes we were driving by in Benton Harbor. Just beautiful structures. And it was a destitute city. And I asked Cheryl, the first time the question was ever asked, Cheryl, what came to Benton Harbor first? A welfare check or a boarded up home?
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart with a live commercial break. Our newest Bible study album began shipping today. It's Nehemiah. Nehemiah, that is such a fun story. In fact, the Old Testament ends historically, as far as the history of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, it ends with a trilogy of stories. Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Those are the historical events that end the Old Testament. And Nehemiah fits into that trilogy in the neatest way. It will just, If you like the Bible, you'll love the story of Nehemiah. You'll just love it. Because Israel, you know, Israel was destroyed because after being enormously blessed by God. They were destroyed because of their sin and rebelling against God. And then they eventually began to rebuild Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the temple that had been sacked by the Babylonians and destroyed. And that temple was rebuilt. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. Ezra and Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, and then it stood for hundreds of years until King Herod refurbished it for the time of Christ. Real fun, the album Nehemiah. Call us, 800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-8-NYARD. You could call in to the show or the order desk at 1-800-836-9278. And so that was the first time that question had been asked. And since then, we've done it on the air, TV, radio, half a dozen different networks. We've asked that question. And from our emails and letters and phone calls, we know that that's become a common question asked now by hundreds, thousand Christians around the country when trying to explain to liberals the destructive side of welfare. If there's a good side of welfare, which there isn't, but if there was, the good side of welfare would be there are people who care about others less fortunate, and they think that if the government gives those unfortunate people money, it will help them. But it's not true. One of the most difficult things in the world to do is to help people with money. It is so difficult. You take a teenager who's messed up, and you give him money, and you think you're going to help him? Calculate the hole that he's going to dig for himself based on the number of dollars you give him. The more money you give him, the deeper his hole, as a general rule. You can help people with money when they don't need it so badly. That's when you can help people with money. So your kids or your grandkids, the ones who are doing the best, you could bless them financially. The ones who are messed up, depressed, not working, being evicted, not paying their bills, drug or alcohol addicts, you give them money, you might as well stab them in the arm. Say, come here, son, I love you. And then you go right in the arm. You might as well, because that's what your money will do to them. So God, he's God. He knows how economics work. He's smart with this stuff. And that's why when Kevin from Colorado Springs got angry at me, because he said, of course, if I ran the church, of course I would have the church pay the rent for the widow. Of course I would. And that's what the Bible says. And so I explained to him that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament laid out the qualifications that a widow must meet before a church could support her. And of course, Kevin, he had never heard this before. And that's also somewhat typical of Christians generally, and especially liberal Christians, is that they really don't know what the Bible says. And he had never heard this before, that a widow, and that's back in the first century, when life expectancy was in the 50s. That's life expectancy was in the 50s. And Paul said back then, don't help a widow unless she's 60 or older. And if she has no family, and only if she's had a strong Christian testimony. Only in those circumstances can the church take a widow onto the roll and support that widow. And in those circumstances, then yes, the church could support a woman in need like that. Now, why would God, if the Bible is the word of God, which to liberal Christians, that's even if they say they believe that, doesn't mean much to them. The Bible's the word of God, the way maybe some totem pole carved by a Cherokee Indian. I don't know, did the Cherokees have totem poles? Maybe that could be the word of God too. You know, the Great Spirit or something. But if the Bible is the word of God, as Christianity teaches, that every scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, for correction. If every scripture is profitable for correction, then we could correct liberal Christians and show them that the church should not support widows, support families who are out of work just because they're out of work or they need money or they can't pay the bills. That's insufficient. Why? Is it that God is not compassionate? Is it that Kevin is nicer than the Apostle Paul? Is that what it is? Or maybe you're Kevin on your block, because there's a Kevin on every block in every neighborhood in the country, a well-meaning do-gooder who creates tragedy with their compassion, and the compassion of American, the tragedy of American compassion is that millions of families have been devastated and have not been able to survive intact the welfare benefits they've received. The welfare has destroyed them and their neighborhoods, their communities, their housing projects. So why? Is it that the liberal Christians are nicer than God? Or is it that God has wisdom that the liberal Christians have not figured out yet? For example, if a widow has family members, like say a couple teenage kids, maybe a couple older kids, and her husband has died, and now she's destitute, what should happen in that circumstance? Well, in that circumstance, her children, her brothers, her relatives need to really sacrifice to help her. That's what should happen. If the church is there, Jiminy Cricket, here we are. We're the church. We're here to help. I'm from the federal government. I'm here to help. Ma'am, we heard you're a widow. Don't worry about your mortgage. We have it paid. Well, then her kids don't need to grow up. They don't need to work hard to help mom get by month after month. They don't need to. Her extended family doesn't need to help because the welfare check helped. The social worker helped. Ted Kennedy and Hillary helped. The United Methodist Community Church is here. And they're there to help. But God said in the book of 1 Timothy through the Apostle Paul, don't do it. Don't support that widow. Why not? You'll destroy her family. The very thing you're purporting to help, the widow, you can't help a widow if you hurt her family. Did you know that? You can't help a mother if you hurt her kids. Did you know that? You can't help a neighborhood if you destroy the marriages in it. Did you know that? Oh, I'm sorry, you're a liberal. That's right, I forgot. You have an open mind. And it's so open that your brains are dripping out of your head, going through your ears, and they're dripping all over. Oh, look at that around your feet. It's a puddle of goo. You're stepping on your brains. Would you quit with the open mind so much? Try to keep your brains in your head. Welfare money hurts people. How many hundreds of billions of dollars has the United States and some other Western countries given to Africa in the form of welfare? And we have destroyed the continent of Africa, destroyed it. And hundreds of, in fact, trillions of dollars have been transferred to the poor in America. Enough money to buy every Fortune 500 company in the whole country. All of them, entire wealth. And it's hurt them. You could buy all the best farmland in America with the money that's been given to the poor in America. You could take Bill Gates. Let's take, he's the wealthiest guy in America, in the world. What percentage of Microsoft does he own? I used to work there in the 80s. And when I signed on, they gave me 5,000 stock options. And I'm thrilled that I left, and I left to pursue my career elsewhere. And I fought abortion here in Denver right after I left Microsoft up in Redmond, Washington, became the director of Operation Rescue, and became a talk show host shortly thereafter. But when I had those 5,000 stock options, if I stayed, they've split, I think, 11 times since then. And they're now, they would have been worth about $30 million if I had stayed. That's a lot of money. But money is very important. We could do a lot of good things with it, a lot of bad things with it. But it's not the most important thing in life. But Bill Gates, he's worth how many billions today? It goes up and down. 40 billion? So what if we take all his money, take all the money from all the billionaires in the world and split it among everybody else? How well will we do? How well will we all do? In fact, you know what I'm going to do? During how many people are in America? Huh? 280 million? Right? About 280 million. So what I'm going to do is here, I got $40 billion, 280, not thousand, million people, and say by 12 months. And what if we take all of Bill Gates' money away from him and we divide it by the rest of us? How much do you think we'll do well financially? Well, we're going to do an interview, and we're going to start it this segment and then go on the other side of the news with it. And then at the end of the show, we'll let you know how we would have all done. But if my memory serves me, we'd get maybe about $12 each a month, about $12 a month for a year, and then Bill Gates' fortune is gone. And then the people who envy Bill Gates, they would have got their share of stealing his money. How great would that have been? All right, don't envy. Hey, let's go to now Washington, D.C., Beth Clay. Beth, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. This was set up by Joe Gigante and Jason Jones, two old friends of mine. And
they're great guys.
They are both. And you're out of Washington. Beth, they encouraged me to do this interview, said it would be fascinating. Why don't you tell the audience what's up?
Well, I recently left federal service after 12 years, and I've launched Project FANS, Freedom of Access to Nutritional Supplements, with a specific purpose of educating Americans that their rights to access nutritional supplements are currently under threat in Washington. We have a Senate Bill S-722 that Senator Durbin, Senator Schumer, Senator Clinton, and Senator Feinstein have sponsored that would seriously restrict access to dietary supplements.
And by dietary supplements, I mean, there are all kinds of herbs and vitamins that are...
We're talking about vitamin C, calcium, folic acid, traditional Chinese herbs.
And Beth, we're going to go to a news break now, but in a few minutes I'd like to continue with you. But some of these people are the same people that want to legalize marijuana, crack, and cocaine. They want to legalize drugs and outlaw vitamins. So we'll be back right after this with Beth Clay from Washington. Bob Enyart here with a live commercial break while our radio affiliate is off doing the news. We get to have a nice personal fireside chat. Those of you tuning in via the internet at kgov.com. So, one, I want to thank you for tuning in. In fact, people from New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Mexico, Europe, and, of course, the bulk of our listeners from right here in the U.S. But thanks, guys, for tuning in and for supporting us all along the way and now for 12 years. Bob Enyart here. I want to invite you, those of you on the web, to check out theologyonline.com. Theology Online, that's one of our sister websites. The program Bob Enyart Live, of course, is available through kgov.com. That's kgov.com. But theologyonline.com is one of the world's most popular Christian websites. There have been over 1 million posts, not hits, not visits, but posts by Christians, unbelievers, cultists, atheists, talking about the issues, the news of the day. There very well may be posts after this show about dietary supplements. Well, if you go to theologyonline.com, into the forums, check out the center ring where there is Battle Royale 7, Does God Exist?, a debate between, well, me as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and Zaketh, their resident atheist. For 4 years, Zaketh has made thousands of posts, and now he and I are locked in this 10-round moderated debate. We're in round 9. It is a lot of fun. You could check out the arguments, which arguments are persuasive, which have the evidence, and I'm biased, but I think you'll see God wins. Welcome back, Bob Enyart Live, and we have Beth Clay on from Washington, D.C. So, Beth, the list of the senators who are sponsoring this bill, it sent a chill down my spine.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need those names in a fundraising letter, and you get an extra 20%. So, Beth, so there are senators who want to regulate our ability to buy some pretty basic foods.
The problem, one of the big problems is that many people believe that dietary supplements are not currently regulated by the FDA. The truth is that we have laws on the books right now that gives the FDA the authority to regulate supplements, and they are doing that. They were slow to implement the 1994 law. We have a new commissioner on board, Dr. Mark McClellan, who's been on board for 8 months. And he's done more to fully implement the 1994 law than any of the previous commissioners. And he's doing a great job, and we need to let him keep doing his job rather than to try to change the law and restrict access to supplements.
And why don't you go ahead and tell us this bill again, who the sponsors are, and what they're trying to do.
Sure. The bill is Senate Bill 722, the Dietary Supplement Safety Act is how it's being the title that it was given. And what it says in this bill is that if one serious adverse event is reported with a vitamin or a mineral or a dietary supplement, that the product can be banned. It also can require pre-market approval, which with prescription drugs, we already know that takes 10 to 12 years and $800 million. Dietary supplements will go out of, the companies will go out of business. The products will not be on the shelf because you don't have patent protection with dietary supplements the same way you do with prescription drugs.
And Beth, if we put this in perspective, if you look at herbs, minerals, vitamins versus prescription drugs, I think back in the 70s, selenium became a fad, and mm-hmm. the mineral selenium.
Yes.
And I guess you can take too much selenium and it could hurt you.
You can take too much of any product.
Yeah, you could take too much water and it could hurt you. You drown. And so at any rate, those who want to control every aspect of our lives through the government, they want to regulate selenium because a handful of people, a few people, overdosed. Mm-hmm. But we have prescription drugs that on a regular basis kill tens of thousands of people a year by the declared side effects, and people die. with these drugs.
About 100,000 people a year die from prescription drugs.
Yeah, and so if you – and people, like you said, you could die from anything you take too much of. And,
certainly.
Right.
And consumers need to read the labels on dietary supplements the same way they need to read the labels of their prescription drugs and their over-the-counter products. Read and follow the label instructions. We in America think if it's a little bit as good, then a whole lot is going to be great. And in some products, especially products that have a stimulating effect, that's really not a good idea. Hmm. You need to, you know, educate yourself about what you're doing to help your body. We know that 85% of disease is lifestyle-related. Our president has actually been focusing on lifestyle to improve health with his Healthier U.S. initiative, talking about diet and physical activity and a spiritual focus in life. And by doing that, we can improve our overall health and prevent disease. Dietary supplements are a key component of that. We don't want to restrict access or drive the cost up so that Americans are spending more money trying to stay healthy.
Beth, it seems to me that the best thing the government could do concerning things like vitamins, minerals, herbs, is to vigorously enforce a truth in advertising, prosecute people for fraud, for negligence, gross negligence. But our whole criminal justice system and the government's role in enforcing, well, for example, contracts and just truth in advertising, the government is so broken in the basics, and yet there are out-of-control zealots who want to control, you know, the Flintstones vitamins.
You're right. And the Federal Trade Commission is actually very active in looking at and going after the marketers who are making outrageous claims with dietary supplements. There are some guys out there, some companies out there that make claims that they shouldn't be making, and they're getting caught, and they're being reined in right now. We don't need to put new laws on the books that created an additional bureaucracy. We need to enforce the laws that exist.
Well, Beth, we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've been on the air for 12 years, and for probably 5 or 6 years, we had an advertiser, an herbal company named PowerRite, and they had 150 products or so. And my whole life, I had suffered from allergies, hay fever, and I was severe. A family-sized box of tissues?
Yeah.
I'd go through one of those a day.
Oh, man. I hope you had stock in the company.
Through the entire summer. I was miserable for years for allergies. I tried the shots in the back with the allergist shooting you up with all these needles. And I was just miserable. And they had so many different products related to allergies and breathing. And so we experimented for quite a while, and I ended up with a combination of 4 of their products that when I took that, I suffered nothing at all, zero, no allergies.
That's wonderful.
I know, it's extraordinary. And we sold it, and we advertised for it probably for 4 or 5 years. Then I used to have a TV show, we went off TV, and all that came to an end. But we had reports from hundreds of people around the country who reported the exact same extraordinary success with these herbs for hay fever.
And what you're talking about is anecdotal evidence that has been gathered over decades and sometimes centuries. We have around the globe used the diet. We've used plant-based products to improve our health from traditional healing systems from around the world. We know this. We have evidence that's been gathered. So we combine this evidence from the history and from current clinical research that's being done to know how we can use dietary supplements to improve our health.
Right.
And, you know, it's important to be active, civically active, contact your legislators, and let them know you want to retain access to supplements. And that's why we've started Project FANS.
Well, and Beth, so FANS, how could people find out more about FANS?
You can go to our website, projectfans.org, and from there you'll see the information about the things we have a concern about and a link to where your listeners can contact their senators and their congressmen right from the Internet, and they can let their views be heard. We have this going on in the Senate. We've also got some issues going on in the House of Representatives where people are starting to talk about changing the law. So we really have to remind our legislators that dietary supplements are an important component of our health and that the laws already exist on the books, then we don't need to change that.
So projectfans.org
Yes.
is the way to go on the web. In fact, I'm going to go there right now. And Beth, when we did those ads over those years, mm-hmm. I was always a bit worried that someone from the federal government was going to come along. And, you know, we were very careful not to say that these herbs were a cure or a treatment for hay fever.
And you complied with the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994, which says that manufacturers cannot make claims that they cure, treat, prevent, or mitigate a disease. They make claims about improving the structure and function of the body, which is exactly the role of dietary supplements in our diet to improve and maintain our health. So anyone that's out there advertising that they treat and cure, you know, 35 different diseases, they're making a claim that's outside the realm of the law, and your listeners should know that. If they're saying that I'm treating cancer with my product, then they're violating the law, and they need to be questioning. Now, there are products where science shows that there is a benefit for the treatment of the disease, but the manufacturers are not allowed to make those claims.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Beth, you have a beautiful website.
Well, thank you.
It's real nice and real easy to navigate, so we can encourage people to go online to projectfans.com and help, of course, keep us keep our ability to the simplest things in life. There are people in the government that want to regulate. And hey, Beth, have you noticed? I don't think it's a joke to say that some of the very politicians who want to legalize drugs from marijuana through crack to heroin are ones who want to regulate vitamins.
You know, it's amazing how philosophical differences come into play. There are individuals in Washington who feel like that we're too gullible, that we're too stupid to make our own health care decisions, that we can't make a decision whether or not to take vitamin C or vitamin D or folic acid to improve our health. And they want to control that and require you to go see a doctor, not even a nutritional expert, but an MD, to get a prescription for these products. And that's, in my opinion, un-American. We have the intelligence to make our own decisions. We should have the freedom to do that. We have regulations that can and will work. And fortunately, we now have a very good, open-minded, and effective commissioner at the Food and Drug Administration.
All right. So, Beth, from your website, people could get, I've got it right in front of me here, the text of Senate Bill 722. They could find out exactly what's going on. See this list of sponsors here. And I want to remind people the website is Project Fans. That's projectfans.com. Beth Clay in Washington, thank you so very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Really appreciate it. Tell Joe Gigante, a friend of ours, and Jason Jones, we said hi.
I will certainly do that.
Thanks. one 800 8 1-800-836-9278. That's our call-in line and the order line. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you for either function, to call into the show or to order some of our materials. Now, the order line, 24 hours a day, of course, calling into the show, that's only from 7 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time, Monday through Friday. But if you are interested in ordering some of our Bible study albums, the plot manuscript, the overview of the whole Bible, our videotapes on the death penalty and the evidence for the resurrection, any of our materials, you can reach us at 1-800-836-9278. In fact, you know, there are people who've been getting our materials for years now. and have pretty much all the videos we've produced, what, 25 videos or so, all the Bible study albums. Is it 36 now? Something like that, a large number of albums, 34 albums. And we've recently introduced the Enyart Library. If someone would like to just go ahead and get set up, you can get every video we have and every audio tape album. The way to do that is to go on the web at kgov.com, check out our store, and in the store you could see all our materials, a description of everything, and you could get a tremendous discount, about a 25% discount off of everything. And of course, it's a way to help Bob and Your Live stay on the air. Diane Feinstein, legalize crack, regulate vitamin C. Now, is that what's her position on legalizing drugs? Didn't she used to be the mayor of San Francisco? So I would think that at their city council meetings, they were probably by city statute doing drugs during the meetings. I don't know if she advocates legalizing drugs, but many of those who've been behind this push to further regulate vitamins and herbs, minerals, are the same ones who want to legalize recreational drugs, and that just cracks me up. See, people are control freaks, and that's one of the great lessons we could learn in life. People are control freaks. Right now, I know I'm not getting to my "Are All Sins Equal" deal, but we're going to go to the phones in Fort Collins, Colorado. Bob, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Bob, when did you become a liberal?
Me, a liberal? How? Why? What'd I do?
You're saying that welfare is destroying these families.
Yeah.
If you put a baby in a lion's cage and lion eats the baby, are you going to blame the lion?
No. No, I'm not.
Well,
okay.
I mean, the government is there to control you and take your possessions and, you know, take everything you have.
Bob, let me understand you step by step along the way. You're saying that the government is exceedingly evil and therefore its intentions are always bad. Right?
Sure.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I get your point.
You know, the fact that the government offers these people money, it's the people's decision to say, okay, I'm going to live on, you know, $800 a month or whatever they get, and I'm not going to do any better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame the government for trying to control these people. And
well, you're being facetious by saying that. Bob, it'd be more helpful if you're just forthright.
Well,
because listen, we have to go through like four levels of interpretation to understand your point. So just be forthright. Try not to be facetious. I'm really interested in your point. So say your point more directly.
I'm just saying that, you know, you can't blame the government for attempting to control you and they can't just come out and say, "Hey,
that's not what you mean." You're having a hard time being forthright. You're being facetious. Say it directly. Skip the figure of speech part.
I'm just saying it's, you know, welfare certainly is evil, and it's, you know, in my opinion, it's illegal in this country. I mean, this is not supposed to be a socialist country.
Right. It should be. Right. Welfare is criminal. It should not be legal. Some people argue it is illegal based on the Constitution. But, okay, so at any rate, So you agree welfare is evil, and then you're saying that the government has bad intentions. The government.
Well, I'm just saying that you're taking the blame off of these people that are accepting the welfare and living on the welfare, and you're saying it's not their fault.
Well, it is their fault. I'm glad you give me that opportunity.
It's the
clarify.
Welfare that's destroying those families.
Well, it's their fault because they're responsible for their own lives.
Sure.
And
well, that's my point.
Yeah. Well, your point is perfect. It is their fault, and it is also the government's fault because the government is doing something immoral.
Sure. But
like if the government gave drugs, we're talking about legalizing drugs. If the government gave crack cocaine to kids in the Head Start program.
They are.
There you go, being facetious again.
Yeah, supposedly we spend some $15 or $20 billion a year to fight the drug trade. But,
but just since we mentioned Head Start, we've been opposed to Head Start ever since Bob and Your Live was on the air. And we've always said that Head Start doesn't work, just like the DARE program against drugs doesn't work. And in fact, now after all these years in the Bush administration, you know, spending billions and billions of dollars in increases on all these welfare programs and social programs, and Head Start is a complete failure, and the kids who get the Head Start do worse in school than the kids who don't.
Sure. I mean, it's like handing out condoms, you know. Does that stop teenage pregnancy?
Handing out condoms to kids increases teenage pregnancy. Having a government-run Head Start program hurts kids. It doesn't help it. Having public schools add food to the curriculum and feeding kids breakfast and lunch hurts kids. It doesn't help them.
That's all part of the socialist system. I mean, you know, we give everything to the government, and they'll tell us what we can do, what's good for us.
Yeah. All right.
But
hey, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the government is there. You know, even the people who wrote the Constitution said, "Hey, you know, this document is for good people to govern themselves. You know, it's not suitable for evil."
Well, let me ask you something. If we go, if we look at the Bible, the history of the human race as recorded in the Bible.
Sure.
Or if we look at history books outside of the Bible,
sure.
Do we see that mankind is basically good or basically evil?
Well, unfortunately, you know, they're evil and they keep.
Well, and that's what Jesus said, that the majority
sure.
are evil. So
sure.
when our founding fathers said we're designing a system of government
sure.
that will only work if the people are righteous.
Right.
When they said that, they should have stopped themselves and said, you know what? We're setting this country up to fail because the people haven't been righteous in 6,000 years.
Yeah, I totally agree.
If your form of government will only work if the people are righteous, you've devised a form of government that is guaranteed to fail.
Sure.
And America became about as evil as a country could be and about as quick as time as a country could deteriorate.
So, I don't think you can place the blame on the government because, communism.
Well, it's the government and the people. You know, when a righteous man does evil, it's far more destructive than when an evil man does evil. Like if we found out tomorrow that, say, James Dobson and Bill Clinton,
sure.
if we found out tomorrow that one of them had an affair, it would be devastating. If it was James Dobson, which it wouldn't be, you know, he's a godly man and a wonderful
sure.
husband. If it was Bill Clinton, it would be a joke.
Yeah.
It would hurt Hillary.
Yeah, well.
But it'd be a joke.
Sure. Well, I didn't like Bill Clinton until apparently all the women in the United States said, hey, it's okay if guys have affairs.
Well,
every married man should love that.
Now, Bob, you're being facetious again.
Yes.
I'm not going to hold that against you. But, you know, Bill Clinton, when he won re-election, everyone was so devastated in our audience. And I was saying, we gotta be thankful. Look at the bright side. And they said, Bill Clinton just won re-election. What possible bright side is there? And I said, well, at least he likes women. You know, he could be a homo.
Now you're being facetious.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
I appreciate
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Well, real, at least he likes women. At least he's not a homo. It could have been worse. You know, your friend tells you how devastating everything is. Lost his job, lost his house. He's in a miserable, he's sick. And you tell him, look, cheer up. It could be worse. And he said, now my wife doesn't like me anymore. It could be worse. And finally he gets annoyed and he said, what do you mean it could be worse? You keep saying it could be worse. How could it be worse? He said, well, it could be happening to me. That'd be worse. At least it's happening to you. So, you know, there's almost always a perspective. If you love God, there's almost always a perspective from which to look at your life from the view that says, you know, I can easily exaggerate my difficulties, my suffering, my trials. I could just as easily thank God for all the blessings and deal with the hardships. And that's what Cheryl and I tried to do. In the midst of the most difficult circumstances, we actively, consciously remember those who have suffered far beyond what we have suffered. And we've suffered a lot, Cheryl and I. You know, we believe in spanking, and I spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside and was found guilty after repeated jury trials and appeals and what a mess, but found guilty of child abuse. We had our 4 kids taken away from us, lost custody. That's suffering. You know, other people go through other things that are, you know, not within a light year of losing their kids, having their kids taken away from them, but they're suffering with their problem. Even though to us, to Cheryl and I, that looks like a little baby problem. You have a little baby problem. That's something you deal with on your lunch break. And then after the lunch break, it's over. You forgot about it because it's a little baby problem compared to our problem. But then when we were going through the worst of it, we would think of other people in the Bible and in history and in modern history, like those who suffered under the hand of the Nazis. And we would read their stories and watch documentaries and see, you know, there are people who have really suffered really badly. And so we could put what we have suffered in perspective. And we'd ask ourselves, would we trade with anyone else? Anyone else in the world right now, would we trade spots with them? And our answer was always no. We would not. Because even with our suffering, the blessings we have from God far outweigh the suffering. And then when the Apostle Paul says that the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that we will enjoy when we're with God in heaven forever, we could get over it, right? We could. You and I, together, we'll get through it. Doc, no, what's her name? Nurse Laura? Dr. Laura used to end her show saying, now go take on the day. And then she heard our show, and how does she end it now? Go and do the right thing. Now Nurse Laura says, yeah, she's pretty cool. She says she's not a Christian, though, but she reads the Bible. So she gets a lot of truth out of the Bible, even though not being a Christian, she misses an opportunity for more wisdom there and perspective. But pretty cool. Hey, we're out of time. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.